What's the deal? It's no D, baby. Huh, got more yo, po yo. And my boy ESG, Cedric Sosa. The Freestyle Kings in here. Say, look here. They got a song out there called Whoa. You know what I'm saying? We love that. We respect that.
Yo, what's good? Laugh Now, Die Later. I'm here with Cruz. Carlos Cruz, 650 San Bruno. You already know. And yeah, thank you everybody for listening on the road to the 100th episode. And please give us a 5-star if you can. Helps us a lot. And yeah, the my favorite part about saying is where we're live from. And today we're live from, where the fuck are we? San Jose?
San Jose.
San Jose in Carlos Cruz's car. You already know, the most random. We're live from the most random places. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening. And yeah, give us a 5-star and hopefully we can continue doing this past 100 episodes. But yeah, how you doing, Carlos?
Doing good, man. Thank you again for having me.
Yeah. So you're from the Bay?
Born and raised, bro.
Born and raised. San Bruno, never heard of San Bruno until like literally like your bands or like, I was like, I mean, the Bay is like really big.
Yeah.
Like everybody just talks about Oakland, San Francisco, and San Jose.
Yeah. And ever since like I was in high school, dude, like my number one thing was always like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to put on for San Bruno. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm from like SF, because like I'm not from SF. Like, I'm from San Bruno, and no one ever really hears of that place. But there actually are hella bands like from there.
Like what?
There's this band Ordstro. They're like one of the first bands like that actually got me into hardcore or like going to DIY shows and shit. They're from San Bruno, Millbrae. It's like the neighboring town. There's this other band, Flat Out, that's also from there. Just like older bands, like 2008 bands that were like went to my high school and shit like that.
And San Bruno, Mexican populated, or
it's,
like
it's pretty heavily Mexican.
Yeah, like that's like the Mexican side of like the Bay.
Yeah, I mean like there's Mexicans all over, like East Oakland and shit, and like South City's got a lot of Mexicans. San Bruno, San Mateo, you know, but there's like Gadnesa Diaz and Panera Diaz in San Bruno and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, you don't see that in like Millbrae or Pacifica.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a little bit here and there, but.
Would you say is one of the most violent cities in the Bay?
San Bruno?
Yeah, what are the violent cities? What are like the South Central or like the East areas of?
Oakland for sure, San Jose. I mean, you hear a lot about like Hunter's Point and shit like that, but I honestly feel like I don't even hear too many stories come out from out there. I know it's shit's still going crazy. It's basically like lawless out there. There's a warehouse out there right now that does shows, and like the first time I pulled up, there's just like hella fools trapping like on the block. Just like we're trying to find the venue, and we're like, me and my girlfriend like parked in the car and we just sat there, and like all these dudes in the cars like were just like staring at us, and I was like, damn, like maybe we should just swing it around the block a couple times
until
people show up. Like I don't want to like blow up these fools' spot. So like shit still goes down out there like that, but like I don't think San Bruno, I wouldn't consider it like a violent place. There's definitely like gangs and shit. Like when growing up in high school, like we used to get checked all the time, but like fucking gangs.
Is it like a town?
Yeah, it's
like more like a town, less.
It's like 40,000, 45,000 populated.
Yeah, damn. So you're like you're basically what would you call an artist? Or like you've been in a lot of bands over the years. Power bands, punk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about your childhood. How was it like growing up in San Bruno? With being a Mexican in a,
honestly,
and,
dude, I tell this story a lot. It's kind of funny that you ask, but like I feel pretty lucky to be from there, just because like dude, I was like flipping through an old yearbook, and like I don't even need the fucking yearbook to remember this shit, but like, you know, I wasn't like the only Mexican kid in my class, and then like obviously, you know, other Mexican kids, there's like Tongan kids, black kids, Asian kids, Filipino kids, fucking white kids, like literally everyone, like every kind of culture you could think of, like I grew up around that, and like feel hella lucky to have had that, because like I mean, honestly, dude, like, you hear this shit, like, people being like, oh, yeah, like, racism, blah, blah, like, it exists everywhere. It's like, yeah, no shit, it exists everywhere. But to me, I feel kind of like, not blinded by it. Like, obviously, I know it exists places, but I just didn't have that much exposure into it because, like, I grew up around all those different types of, of people.
That's how it should be.
Dude, yeah. And, like, you know, I always say this thing that's like, dude, your reality is, like, what you've experienced. And that's what's true to you as a person. So, to me, obviously, I'm not a racist piece of shit dickhead, but, like, you know, to me, I grew up accepting all these types of people. You know, they're just my friends. Like, literally, some of those kids are, like, still my friends today. And, like, yeah, we don't see each other all the time, but I can still hit them up on the phone or do whatever. And it's, like, we pick up right where we left off, you know. And
that's
it's, like,
it.
And it's cool.
Yeah, because, like, Los Angeles, from, again, like you said, from what your experience is, your reality, like, blacks and Mexicans are always in the same neighborhoods, and that's always the low-income neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And then, like, if there's a white school in Los Angeles, it's because it's a wealthy school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, like, that's how I grew up seeing. So, like, for the longest time, I was, like, mad at white people. Because I was, like, because I associated white people, but with, like, rich, with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was, like, oh, like, and a lot of people still do. When I get, like, when I talk to, like, fools from, like, from, like, my neighborhood, they're like, yeah, like, fuck white people.
Hell yeah.
But, like, they're like, it's, like, rich people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no. And then when you grow up, it's like, oh, there's, like, poor white people.
You know who they're talking about when they say that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what they mean.
Yeah, but it's shit like that where it's like you kind of just, like, you just see it. You talk to a Filipino kid, you talk to the white kid, the black, you know what I mean? And, like, me, that's what kind of sometimes sucks, because I feel like I, like, it took, like, a long time to, like, be like, all right, like,
exposed to that.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's like, I could relate to a white person and get along than, like, a rich Mexican. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you gotta learn stuff like that, but you gotta get, like, you gotta go out to the world.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, how was, like, your parents? How was your relationship with your parents? You had any siblings? How was
it? Yeah, I have a older brother and a younger sister. I have my older brother to thank for, like, a lot of the early music stuff. Love my mom to death. She's still here. My dad, unfortunately, passed away when I was 11. So in 2004, passed away in a car accident. So that, like, I think I'm still, like, growing from a lot of that and, like, realizing things now as an adult that, like, you know, things that, like, that I experienced or things that I developed or the way I think about something, I'm just like, dang, like, maybe I would have thought about that differently if, like, that hadn't happened, you know, or, like.
Like what?
Like,
give me an example.
Damn.
Like, you don't see it as life so precious, or do you, like, or do you, like, live life more fast, or I don't know.
I think, like, just aspects of, like, being an adult. Like, for example, owning a car, right? So it's like, I drove this car here, love this car. It's a pain in the neck sometimes, but, like, having that as an adult responsibility, you know? If I can't afford to pay my car, then I'm not going to, like, go out to a gig or something or go, like, have a good time somewhere if I, like, you know, can't scrape together the money to pay the car, right? And it's, like, obviously, it doesn't take a 30-year-old man to figure that out, but just, like, aspects about, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Aspects about life that I feel like maybe I could have just picked up on, like, from my dad at an earlier point in my life versus, like, just figuring it out on my own later.
I get exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you know, it's not like my mom just, like, didn't teach us shit. Like, she taught us how to be civilized human beings and, like, not be pieces of shit.
No, I get you.
But, you know, there's like, a father-son relationship that, like, you know, develops over time. And it's, like, even still, like, literally right now, I'll never know what that's like as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it is what it is. And, like, you know, who's to say that, like, if things did pan out differently, like, maybe I wouldn't be playing music. Who knows? You never know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have, like, because, like, being into music, it's a very, what's it called? Like, it's more positive for sure. Like, and obviously it depends how every person manages their life anyway. Like, if you're going to be a bum, you're going to be a bum no matter what. If you're going to be a fucking successful person, you're going to be in graffiti or in the corporate or in music. You know what I mean? But what I've learned is, to be in music, there has to be a lot of, like, even going on tour, like, with me for these 2 weeks, it's, like, you save money, you quit your job, you know what I mean? Like, and then you're out on the road, and you got to be careful with your money, you know what I mean? Stuff like that, where
it's, like,
the average person, it's, like, no, you got to, like, work, and, like, and I don't have a car, you know what I mean? I don't have my license yet, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I could go on so on, but, like, that came, I could relate to that, because I haven't seen my dad in, like, a couple years, because, Like, I'm not, I'm undocumented, and he's, like, and also, like, just, you know, we're separated by the border.
Right.
So, like, you know, I could talk to my dad, but it's not the same as, like yeah, even, like, fixing a car. You know what I mean? Or it's, like, an oil change, or it's, like, I'm YouTubing that shit. You know what I mean?
Because,
like,
yeah.
You don't have a dad to, like, be, like...
Teach you, or, yeah, show you
or, like,
way.
Yeah, or even just, like, a, like, kind of like that rock, you know what I mean? Where it's, like...
Yeah,
or, like, totally. Someone who's just, like, my mom is, yeah, but, like... It's not the same way, like, you know, you're like a man that you could be like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. There's just like
I still remember like being young, and then like I can't remember who told my brother, but they were like, you know, you're like the man of the house now, right? And he was like 13 at the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, dude, talk about responsibility. And like, you know, he ended up moving out of the house when I still lived there, and then like, you know, obviously I bear that on, you know, like help pay the bills when things can't be met sometimes, or little things like that, you know, be there just to like. Protect my mom and my sister, you know, who knows who's gonna come knock on the door someday. It's not like bad shit happens all the time, but people are pretty fucking unhinged nowadays, so it's like, who knows, you know.
Or but, even or even just like, or even what's the word, or even just like what's the word, like stuff like that, where it's like that. I mean, I guess the average person like goes through phases. Like, there's phases in life you're gonna go through no matter what, and by the, let's say by the time you're like kind of letting loose and being crazy or whatever, like, you know, whatever, like, you're like, it's, you're already at a certain age where like you already went to you're already in college, you already graduated, so you already did the right things.
Yeah.
But like me, where it's like I had to take care of my little sister, like walk her to school, like at a, like before I even, like, you know, like just being older, and like having depression before like the average kid, you know what I mean, has it, like,
yeah,
because you just go through life like faster and quicker.
Yeah.
Kind of makes your mind alter more, so therefore there's things like passion for music that alters quicker, like, so when, so like when I was like, when I was like you know, living a, like a very like rough life with my mom, like other kids were like living, having a more comfortable life, like they would listen to whatever was on the radio, but I knew that I was like, oh, I'm listening to like Full of Hell, you know what I mean, like, and I'm, yeah, and I love this, and but like my mind is like on a different level, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
than other kids, you know what I mean, like, so like what I'm trying to say is like having things like that, like having a fucked up, or like having something like being taken away from you, I mean, not that it, you know, not that it justifies or it's a good thing,
right
comes, I mean, there comes with a good side, you know what I mean, like,
right, like there's always gonna be an outcome, you know, the tunnel ends somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, do you think you would have played music or been as passionate for music to, like,
I mean,
to continue,
maybe, you know, maybe he could, maybe would have shown me something else that I would have like fallen in love with, or like had a passion for,
like a welder,
like a well, yeah, exactly. Like now as an adult, like lately I've been like geeking out about like electronics and stuff, and like I've been like fixing a lot of my old like video game consoles and stuff like that, and like that's shit that like my grandpa's not like a professional electrician or something, but he can come over the house and like fix the lights if they're not working, like you flip one switch and like everything turns on or something, like he could fix that. Like I would like to know how to do that. I think now as an adult, like older, you know, my interests are growing into different areas, so basically I could be like, okay, cool, if I can learn how to fix electronics, well maybe I could fix like an amp or a pedal or a guitar and apply that to music, and there's, you know, different ways to learn about that, like, yeah, exactly. So maybe I would have been a welder or like an electrician or had some sort of like trade job like that, but yeah, you know, who knows, that's not the way it panned out. I'm here right now. So
did like losing your dad in a car crash make you a like had a certain fear of like car crashes, you know what I mean, like kind of like paranoia,
kind of sometimes. One time someone told me like, I can't believe people are so scared of roller coasters, like when every time you get in a car you have such a higher chance of dying than when you get on a roller coaster, and like that person told me that like years and years and years after my dad passed away, but like I feel like hearing something like that and then kind of tying it back all into your past, like, yeah, it could provide some sort of anxiety, but like, you know, I'm still gonna drive. Like, I guess it doesn't really hold me back from just like,
yeah,
doing what I gotta do and like living my life. But I wouldn't say it like causes like any crazy fear or anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I was too young to even like start thinking about stuff like that, like when it happened.
Mm.
Like, so, like I said, like as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize things like, damn, that is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, but.
So how was your relationship with your family after like and you're going, because you passed away when you were 13, right?
I was 11.
11. So yeah. Going on to like middle school, high school.
Yeah, yeah.
How was it like?
Right there.
Was it just weird? Was it?
Yeah.
Was it, like, I mean, everybody quiet.
I feel like our family, you know, we were very tight knit after that, and like there's definitely some like anxieties that came with that. Like if I was like, you know, gonna call my mom or something, like she doesn't answer the phone, I'm just like, oh no, so the worst thing in the world could possibly happen. And it's like, no, you know, just like try not to get too anxious. I definitely feel like I get anxiety like that sometimes, but yeah, back then definitely felt more tight-knit. You know, we kind of just like, I had, was very lucky to have like a lot of friends that, you know, I grew up with at school that lived nearby. We'd go outside and fucking play bullshit baseball, like, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think I definitely had like my friends there to like probably like definitely keep me distracted from a lot of what was going on at the time. And you know, it, like I said, it, I think I was too young to really process like what happened. Like I, like I said, I'm just processing it still, I feel like, and like to this day thinking like, damn, like, you know, never gonna see my dad again or like whatever, you know. And
do you write, is there any songs or a specific project that's like about him, or that you, like, you wish he would hear?
Yeah, I mean, Cruz is definitely dedicated to him for sure. Like his picture is like the cover photo of, yeah, his picture is a cover photo on the demo. I have like a dedication to him in the inner sleeve on the LP. A lot of the art I feel like is definitely inspired by like him, like photos, you know, flipping through photo albums, just like
kind of like thinking of like what he was like or like his vibe, like based on like,
dude,
on
he was straight up a decked out ass cholo ass fool. Like in all the photos I've seen, like even growing up, you know, I'd still look at those photos even when he was still here.
And like, do you remember a lot how he looked?
Oh yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, it's like not anything that I completely forgot. Like, you know, I was old enough to still like retain memories for sure. But I'd say that like definitely Cruz a lot of the times is like dedicated to him. And, you know, he might, I don't even think he'd be super down with like that type of music. Like he definitely wasn't like, my dad didn't listen to rock and roll or anything. He listened to like cumbia and shit like that. And, but yeah, I'd say that Cruz is for sure. Like that's my main project. I could do whatever I want with it. So yeah. I'm just gonna make it about him.
Say, and how'd you pick up your first guitar?
My uncle on my mom's side, my mom's brother, he let me borrow his guitar actually, and like hella like guitar, like Rock Guitar for Dummies books and like Metallica tab books and shit. And then like
he gave it to you just cuz, or like he's like, you gotta learn guitar?
Yeah, no, I mentioned that I wanted to learn. I actually originally wanted to learn how to like scratch records and like DJ and shit when I was like 14 or 15, and then just never really like try to get into it. I just got like too put off by like how expensive shit was. Yeah. Like two decks and a mixer and plus like records and shit. But yeah, I wanted to learn how to play guitar, so my uncle has like a guitar. He had one. He let me borrow it, gave me like a practice amp, bunch of books, and I was 15, maybe 16. It was over summer and my PS3 had broken, so I didn't have like video games to play, so I basically would just practice guitar, like not hella crazy, like a couple hours a day. Like
that's a lot for a kid.
Read the book and like learn power chords and just like play power chords in different places around the neck, and like learning Metallica songs and shit like that was definitely like how I started.
Sick.
Yeah.
And what was your first band you were in?
My first band was,
or how was high school? With that, if that mixes in.
No, that definitely mixes in. Good segue.
Yeah.
High school was shitty. First 2 years, my brother was still there, so I hung out with him and his friends a lot. And then, like, my friends joined in, too. You know, we all kind of hung out and had a little spot. And then he graduated, and then I kicked it a lot with, my friend Kyle, who ended up being in my first band. I still talk to him today. He's, like, one of my best friends. He was definitely the main reason, like, why I got into punk and shit. Because, like, growing up, I listened to, like, you know, fucking Blink-182 and, like, Rage Against the Machine and Papa Roach and all that classic shit, Linkin Park shit like that, you know, the classic 2000s albums.
That was a starter pack.
Yeah, literally. And then, so I, in 11th grade, I hung out with my friend Kyle a lot, and he got me into this band Sabretooth Zombie, and they're from the Bay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sabretooth Zombie's the one with Anthony, right? No. I'm thinking of another band. So Richard Zombies, I want the crazy vocals, right?
Yeah, Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild ass fool. Goes ape shit.
He doesn't anymore, right?
Yeah.
Kinda.
We played with them in November of last year.
Yeah, I saw them live. And it, I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. There's no diss.
No, for sure.
But like, I've seen videos. I'm like, and it's like a slow crazy, not like a energetic crazy. It's more like a...
Yeah, well, like, their last release was like some like... more like on the stoner rock side of things. I feel like it was a little bit slower. Definitely still energetic, definitely still good. But yeah, they, I mean, when they're younger, everyone goes harder when they're younger.
What's the other band with Anthony? Skin Like Iron, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if there's someone named Anthony in that band, but I know Skin Like Iron.
Yeah.
They're all intertied. No, he didn't play in Skin Like Iron.
Who the hell played in Skin Like Iron?
I don't remember.
I feel like it was a super group. Yeah, whatever. But it's cool, yeah. But yeah, so why was high school shitty?
Just because, like, there's only like a few of us there that like actually listen to punk. Everyone else is like a jock or like, you know, whatever. Like, just no one I really had any interest in hanging out with.
Were you good at school? Were you did good grades, or you were like stoner? Or
no, I got like decent grades. I had like a 2.0.
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
I kind of just got by, and like, you know. School wasn't always like my number one focus. Like, I, you know, like at least the classes that I did have interest in were like the video class and like.
Was there bullying?
Nah, no one bullied me, bro. Yeah. I'm like 6 foot tall in high school.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's a target for like people to try to prove themselves.
I mean, hey, sure.
Did that happen?
No one ever tried. I've actually never been in a fight before.
That's sick.
Yeah, no one ever fucks with me, dude.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But what else sucked about high school? It just sounded like it was whatever.
Yeah, it was whatever, honestly. Like, a lot of it I kind of just blanked out. Like, I can't believe, like, I think about 4 years now, and it feels like such a small sliver of time, but like 4 years back then feels like fucking forever.
High school felt like forever.
Yeah, and it's because you're dreading it, dude. Like, you're an adult now, and 4 years goes by, and you just do whatever the fuck you want and hang out and have a good time, but like, when you're, you know, forced to fucking learn numbers and shit, like, it sucks. And, I mean, I definitely found the good in, like, the art class and, like, the cooking class and, like, the film class, guitar class. I definitely had good teachers, regardless of what they taught, that I still, like, have things that I took away from them, you know? So I'm thankful for that. Like, there's definitely some good people there, but...
But were you bummed out because your brother had left? And, like, it was kind of like...
No, not necessarily. I didn't really, like... lean on him too hard like that. I kind of just hung out with him just because I didn't really know how to like go make friends. Like, you know, even my friend Kyle that I hung out with after he left, I've known him since seventh grade. And yeah, it just like we kind of just stick to the people that I knew. And yeah, so like in 12th grade we started our first band. We were called Unnatural Cause. We played like 3 shows. It was cool. I definitely learned a lot in that band. Like, that was like my first time ever trying to record. We only got together because we were covering Sabretooth Zombie songs in our homie RJ's garage.
Weren't they active at the time?
They were. Yeah, I probably had just seen them, like, I actually saw them for the first time after we had been practicing their songs.
And you're like, yeah, let's start a Sabretooth Zombie.
Yeah, it was sick. Dude, yeah, like, yeah. I mean, they're like the perfect bridge between, like, metal and hardcore, you know?
Really? It's
exactly like, I was hell into metal. Like, Slayer and Metallica were, like, my favorite bands. And, you know, listen to some punk shit here and there, but, like, not very much of it. And, yeah, Kyle, I have to thank for, like, a lot of that. He, like, got me into a lot of, like, the local stuff after that. He took me to, like, my first Gilman Street show when I was, like, 17.
What's up with Gilman?
Nowadays?
Yeah, because, like, okay.
I don't know.
Let me tell you my experience. Like, Gilman's, like, a legendary venue. Dystopia, Spaz, like, you know, all even Ceremony, like, all the big bands have their good gig at Gilman.
Yeah.
Is Gilman still a thing? Why is it not cool anymore?
That's a good question. It's definitely still a thing. They definitely do shows. I have no idea why people don't play there anymore. The last time, I used to kind of book shows there. The last time I did something there was probably, like, 2016. I did the Ceremony's L-Shaped Man record release there with Negative Approach.
Damn.
And yeah, it was a sick gig.
Who else played?
That was this. Who else did play? I honestly can't tell you, dude. I can't remember.
That's a crazy.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That's nuts.
It was a cool show, for sure.
Shout out to Nader Approach.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, that was probably the last time I booked a show. I can't even tell you the last time.
Is it like an owner, or is it like the same owner all these years, or how does that work?
I have no idea. I think, well, it's all volunteer run, so it kind of just, I think the legacy of it falls on like whoever decides to volunteer there, and if the volunteers like are just not looking at like a very specific circle of punk bands to play there, then there's just not going to be shows. But like, I know that there's for sure still band, like a lot of younger bands, I think, play there nowadays.
I haven't heard a single band that I know that play Gilman.
Like recently?
Yeah.
Or ever.
Or like bands that like I would like, that are popping or that are
right now. Yeah, no one really plays there, honestly.
Even like Chain is still popping, but it feels more like big shows happen there. Like I've met people where it's like, yo, Chain was like, I saw Internal Affairs and blah, blah, blah. Like, now it's like the bands that like.
Now it's like a concert venue.
Yeah, it's more, it's like they're playing so and so and then Chain, like a big band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know it's going to sell out.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, now I mean, the cool venues, in my opinion, are like Man of the Hour and
the house
1720
shows.
And the house shows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but like when it comes to like good like venues, it's 1720 Man of the Hour. You know what I mean? Like from LA, you know what I mean?
Oh, in LA.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the Bay. Well, I don't know much about the Bay. But yeah, so you graduate high school. What happened?
I graduate high school.
Did you graduate high school? Yeah, you graduate high school.
I did graduate high school. I was still doing that first band. We played. Oh no! So I graduated high school, got a job, and then I started booking shows. Actually, like not too shortly after.
What made you want to book shows?
I kind of just wanted to get more involved. Like, I couldn't even tell you what aspect of like booking that like enticed me. The first time, what actually sparked me to book my very first show, there was a bowling alley in Colma, California, which is very close to where I grew up in San Bruno. There's a bowling alley there, Sarah Bowl. They had done a couple shows in the past. So I kind of skipped over a year. This is like 2012 by now by this point. They had done a couple shows. I saw some sick ass bands play there. Do you know the band DNF, Duke Nukem Forever?
Yeah. Dude. You know what's funny?
What's up?
This whole tour, shout out to Boston. Dude, this whole tour we've been to this crazy ring that up. This whole tour, you know Smut, right? The band Smut?
Yeah, yeah.
They have a song Sean Lim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Sean Lim. Do you know Sean Lim?
I know the name.
I don't know him. Like, okay. I know, I've heard
the
him.
The name sounds hella familiar.
Dude, we've just been screaming the whole, like, at people or in the van. We're just like, Sean Lim, or like, Nuke Dukem Forever.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. Like, we go to the market, we're just like, Nuke Dukem Forever. Or, like, if we're just gonna, like, steal something, we're just like, Nuke Dukem Forever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's funny enough, but, like, that's crazy that you bring that up. We've been saying that the whole tour.
That's hella funny.
Or like, we go to sleep, we're just like, Nuke Dukem Forever.
So, rewind back to 2011.
Yeah,
I was still in high school. My friend Kyle took me to go see a show at Sarah Bowl, and it was Duke Nukem Forever, Big Kids, Koala Cost, and Orstro, that band that I mentioned from San Bruno.
Koala Cost? Like Holocaust, like, but with a koala?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They're not a band anymore.
No, I know, but I mean,
they're from, yeah, they're from, wild ass name for sure. I think they're from SF. I think some of the members are from LA. But yeah, those four bands played. That was the first show I went to, 2011. And yeah, so Sarah Bowl did a couple other shows that I'd gone to. Then I heard that they were going to close, and I was like, damn, I want to book a show there. And I did a show there with my band, Unnatural Cause. It was our last show. It was like only the third or fourth show we played.
Did you guys break up?
Much. Because we weren't really like, it wasn't ever supposed to be anything that was like, we were supposed to play shows. It was just like, we're just jamming, and everyone else was like, yeah, this is whack. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm down. Let's not play anymore.
Who else was on the gig?
What's that?
Who else was on the gig?
Who else? This band, Commissher. They're from SF, like, SF area. They're definitely, like, mad local. They were, like, one of the first bands that I got into when I was getting into that stuff. They're not a hardcore band, but they play, like, DIY gigs with hardcore bands and shit. So they've been Enemigo, who were homies with Commissher. They just jumped on the gig and then ended up being super tight with them. And then our homies from high school, they had a band called, I think they're called like 82 South or something like that. They played a couple shows. They just played here and there, and then it was a natural cause.
Sick.
Yeah.
And then so you booked that show, it closes down, and then yeah, the, I mean, it's funny how you're like, I want to be involved, and you took the hardest job.
Yeah.
The worst part of in my opinion, because shout out to Cam, VCHC, he's like, I see how you book shows. I'm like, dude, that sounds like a nightmare. Like booking shows,
it's pretty hectic.
Especially because they're the Oxnard hardcore, current hardcore scene is like, they all like, they're all homies, so they know each other. So like, you could directly just text them and be like, you want to hop on this gig. But I can't imagine where it's like, same city, but like, you kind of know them. And like, these kids over there, and like, you know what I mean?
Just I did have a very, very, I was very lucky to have a mentor in booking. This dude,
who was it?
His name's Max Montez. Shout out to Max. I run into him here and there. I probably ran into him maybe like at a show last year somewhere. It's like, oh shit, dude, what's up? And that's like, that dude's known me since I was like 20 years old, probably. And like, he doesn't book anymore, but literally he like hit me up probably on Facebook or something, and he was like, yo dude, you want to book shows? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, cool, because I'm looking for someone to pass the torch to.
Pass.
I was like, oh shit,
on a message. You just
yeah that? And then like, literally dude, like every sick flyer that I would see back then, it was just like, Max Montez presents. Like, that fool would, like, book Nails and, like, fucking Sabretooth, Ceremony.
What was one of, like, give me one of his crazy shows you remember. The Max Montez show.
I can't even... Dude, there were sick-ass shows going down from, like, flyers that I saw before I was even going to shows. I couldn't tell you, like, I couldn't pick one out of thin air. Like, I can't recall any specific lineup. But one show that I recall he did that I went to that was... still pretty early on from when I was going to shows, was like at Gilman Street. It was like Dead End Path, Rotting Out, who else played? Damn, I can't remember. I want to say Soul Search, maybe. I feel like some like pop punk band probably played. That was like back when they did a lot of those like mixed tour packages.
Now two of those bands are on Sounding Fury.
Yeah.
I don't know what Minority Unit, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, you just book huge shows and basically hit me up and was like, do you want to, he's like, I can send you offers of shows that I can't do. And I was like, yeah, dude, totally. And I was like telling the story. There was a time where I got hit up to book this band Adventures, and they were like members of Code Orange Kids. It was like their like indie side project.
This is pre or during?
What's that?
This is pre or during Code Orange
Kids? During Code Orange Kids.
Okay.
Before they actually became Code Orange. This is like pretty early on. This is probably like 2014. But this is the first time I ever like interacted with a booking agent. And so I got an email that was like...
Damn, you had a booking agent that early?
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Sorry, go.
No, you're good. So they hit me up. The agent hit me up and was like, hey, like... here's this band, like they were on tour with another band, I think, he was like, do you want, he basically, you know, laid out all the details, and he said, like, their guarantee was, like, $350 or something, and I was like, guarantee, what the heck is that? And Max would tell me, like, dude, if you ever have any questions, just text me. And so I texted him, and I sent him a picture of the email, and I was like, what the heck does this mean? And he was like, that means how much money you're guaranteeing to pay the band. And I was like, me pay them? I was like, they should be paying me. I was like, I'm the one fucking working my ass off. You know, like, still, you know, obviously just learning about the ins and outs of booking. And then he was like, no, well, like, you have to...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sign up to pledge to meet the guarantee, that way they know that you're gonna actually promote the show. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I learned, like, okay, well, that's how you figure out how much the show is gonna cost, and like, you know, you do all the math and you rent the venue and how many heads have to show up in order for you to like break even after the rental and the band guarantee and stuff like that.
Did you make it?
I did make that guarantee, yeah. There were some guarantees that I came up super short, and there were other guarantees where I maybe had to go pull, like, $20 out of the ATM.
What were some gigs that you came super short?
Just, like, little shows. Like, I couldn't even tell you, like, what bands were coming through.
Do you gotta take money out of your personal?
I mean, I would, just because I felt bad. Like, there was literally a show I did where I paid them, like, $50. And, like, you know, I would go get, like, another $50 out of my bank. Just be like, here you go, dude. He's $100. And, like, which is funny now, because now I go on tour and they're like, all right, here's $60 for your band. Okay, thanks, bye. And it's like, okay, cool.
You know,
but it is what it is.
Like, do you still book shows?
I don't anymore.
What happened?
The last time I booked a show was over summer last year, 2022. This guy agent hit me up to book the band he works for. They're called Serpent Foot. They're from Washington. They wanted to play with Cruz, so I did that show. But what happened was I just, like, started focusing on other shit. I kind of was just like, you know, I gotta start doing shit for myself and, like, you know, focus on, like, my own music and shit. And, like, you know, show the scene will still be alive or whatever, and, you know, people still book shit, and, like, or if people hit me up and they, like, absolutely need someone to get a hold of a venue, like, I'll do it. But, you know, there's so many, like, nowadays there's so many other people booking shows. It's like, I always kind of looked at it as, like, I don't know what's right, like, a territorial thing, you know, like Malachi, for example, like, booked a show tonight, and it's like, you know, San Jose, he books shows in San Jose, like, he books shows in Santa Cruz. I think he books shows in Oakland now too. But it's like, you back then, like, I booked a show one time. I actually booked a show, like, right down the street from here at this place called The Rock Shop. And I remember feeling kind of guilty for, like, booking in San Jose. And I'm just like, there's, like, other fools, like, out here that book here. Like, you know, am I, like, stepping on their territory or, like, overstepping some boundaries or whatever? But it's like, ah, whatever, you know. Like, it's a gig. Like,
a show needs to happen.
Right. And no one was ever confrontational about it. That's just more so, like, a thing that I thought.
Yeah.
It was just like, no, I can only book shows in, like, SF and Oakland. But, you know, I did one San Jose show or, like, whatever. But, yeah, I just kind of, like, got kind of over it and just, like, started focusing on my own shit. And it's kind of funny how it, like, tapered off, because, like, you don't just, like, decide you don't want to book anymore and then people just stop hitting you up. Like, I'd be getting, like, a lot of Facebook DMs and stuff like that, and I would just be like, yeah, I'm not really booking anymore. Or, like, I'd pass them off to, like, this other fool who was booking at the time. But, yeah, I kind of just, like, tapered off, started writing more music, playing in more bands. I think right around 2015, that was, like, around the same time I started one of my other, like, older bands, Whips.
Whips?
Yeah.
Like Whippets?
No. Like Whips? Whips, like, yeah, like a whip.
So, like, what's that punk whip? Wait, so you stopped, you stopped booking shows around 2015? Or, like, how long ago did you start booking shows?
Stop? I'd say, like, 2016 or 17, I think.
Okay, so you haven't been booking shows for a while.
Yeah, it's been, like, 5 or 6 years.
Okay. So, this was, like, up to your mid-20s, right? You're booking shows.
Yeah.
What are you working at the time? Just, like, bumming it?
Working?
Yeah.
Where was I working? Oh, I was working at this warehouse in South City, South San Francisco, California. So, prior to that, I was working at Macy's. I did loss prevention.
Yeah.
Shake my head. And, my homies walked in and they were just like, dude, you look miserable. And I was like, I am, bro. And then they were like, come work with us. And they worked at a warehouse, and they ended up getting me a job there. And then I ended up working there for like 6.5 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you're working, you're booking gigs, you're playing in bands here and there. Do you, at some point, do you, like, because a lot of the bands you're in sound like, they're like cult classics, if that makes sense. You know, like those bands where it's like, Like Healer or like,
yeah, Benson. No frills, you know, yeah. just going for it.
Yeah, yeah,
no bells, like, and whistles.
Yeah, it's one of those bands where it's like, you, like, if you know, you know. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Or like 7-inch might be like hella DIY, but like people like are worship, you know, are like fucking, yeah, going nuts for that 7-inch.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Do you ever I want to be big, like, or like I want to, like, be in a big band or like make a living off of this?
I mean, I think I would love to make a living off of it, but when you're making a living off of something, you get hyper stressed. Because if you're not making a living, then you're not living, right? So it's like, and music is what's the word? Subjective. It's up to someone else to decide whether or not it's good. You know, I obviously think I wouldn't be releasing music if I didn't like it. And, you know, I've written plenty of songs that sound like absolute trash that, like, no one's ever heard. But, you know, I think in order to make a living off of it, you kind of have to, like, you either people are fucking with every single thing that you think of, or you're writing for an audience.
You're compromising.
Exactly.
And you don't want to compromise.
Yeah. No. I mean, I wouldn't. If I release another Cruz album and it fucking blows up, like, cool, hell yeah. But if the only way I'm going to be able to make a living off of it is if I write an album that sounds like something that I'm not going to write organically, then I'm not gonna do that, you know, because it's, to me, it's like the integrity part of it. Like, how do you, you know, you don't want to sell yourself short of like what you like. You're not gonna write something that you don't like just to please other people,
yeah,
just to make a living off of it. Like, I'd rather just work in my little desk job and write tracks at home for fun.
Sick. So 25 to 30, how was your life? So you stopped booking shows, playing band and called Whips. I think Fentanyl started at some point there. You joined Healer, Cruise Star. It's like, what else? What else is, what's going on between 25 and now?
What year was it when I was 25? 2015?
2015. Oh, wait, so yeah, yeah.
2015. What was life like?
Wait, how old are you? You're 30?
I'm 30 now.
Wasn't yeah. that a... I don't know. Whatever.
25. Oh!
No.
I can't do math. I'm stupid. 2018, I was 25. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's why I was like, wait, wasn't that...
Yeah, old? I'm hella dumb. Yeah, 25, yeah. Fentanyl starts. Healer started like 2 years prior. So I was like 23.
Fentanyl's been around that long?
Since 2018, yeah. Or no, 2019, sorry. Summer of 2019. But yeah, so 2016, 17, 18... doing Healer stuff, you know, we weren't doing anything like hell of often, like all the time. The only thing we were doing all the time was like kicking it and recording shitty songs, like sick ass songs that sounded shitty because of the recording.
Are you aware how like big Healer is?
What's that?
Are you aware how big Healer is? Well, like for like a DIY project, like it's like a cult classic.
I not really. I feel like I'm kind of like blindsided by a lot of that stuff. Like my homie, like Alex from Bloodstained Concrete, he's like the only person that I still talk to that like will actively ask me about Healer stuff, which I appreciate. But yeah, I don't really know like how much people really follow it.
I remember when it was came out the summer 2019. Well, like, and then the next summer 2020 when it was COVID, I was kicking my homie Chango and like Rhino, where I was just like, yo, Healer, like we're just like going like, yeah, we're like kind of like going we're just fanboying over here, and they're like, let's do some shit like this. And because he's, like, from Bakersfield, but, like, he loves, like, East Lows. Like, he's a brown kid from Bakersfield worships L.A. shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, like, you know, he was on his, like, you know, like, full shit. And he was like, yo, like, Healer's so sick. Like, and he's, like, loved Powerbound. So I was like, I remember that summer of COVID. Like, we couldn't do anything. And me and him were down just to kick it and just, like, listen to Healer, like, almost every day.
That's sick.
Yeah. Or maybe my eyes is just like a bit cold, but I do feel like a lot of people like it.
I mean, people definitely still fuck with it, like, which is really super cool. But yeah, when we were like still an active band, like I wasn't really aware of how much like people liked it. Like, you know, we'd go play shows and people would turn out, and a lot of the times it would just be like our friends that were there. Like, I very rarely would go to a Healer show and would meet like complete strangers, you know, or like anything like that.
I would love to see Healer live. I would go vape shit.
Yeah, I think it was the last show we played. It was like a day show. It was weird. It was like a day show at the Knockout in SF. It's like this little bar. We played at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun's like shining right at like our faces.
There's a video of that on YouTube, right? Window.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
that was a cool show.
Is Cruz the first band that is just like more, I guess, like chill?
My shit? Yeah. Yeah.
The first band you've done like that?
Yeah. Cruz is the first band that's not a hyper distorted guitar band that I've done.
Was that nerve wracking? Just be like, you're gonna hear the soft side of me. Or like I'm not gonna hide behind like,
you know. Not really. I mean, I feel like Cruz could have definitely started being a band in like 2014 or 15 if I had just like started recording, because a lot of those like ideas and a lot of those songs and like the whole style of it, like the tone and like, you know, the riff structure, a lot of that stuff was like stuff that I just had like just like demo recordings I kind of saved. And then when we were doing Healer, we would kick it a lot at our practice space and just like, you know, show each other demos and like shit like that. And then like we ended up actually working on like a Cruise track, and then that's how the first Cruise song like came to be. And then it all just kind of like would happen again. Like, I would write another song idea and then would kind of focus on that, and that turned into like, okay, now that song is done. And then I would work on another idea, and then slowly but surely like we'd work on that one, and then that one was done. So like, yeah, Cruise is a solo project, but it definitely starting it was kind of a group effort with me and some of the other fools from Healer too. Like, we just bullshit at our practice space and just record stuff.
That's sick.
Yeah.
And fentanyl. Why is fentanyl just on Spotify?
Why now? Because we were doing that tour, and so when the band first started, it was like the whole thing was like, yeah, dude, like physical format only, like fuck all the streaming stuff. And this, you know, 2019, whatever, obviously pre-COVID. And it just worked. That approach worked better back then, versus like now. I feel like, you know, we did a U.S. tour, and like to have done a U.S. tour and like not have your music be like
streaming.
What's the word? Yeah, like
available.
Yeah, I was gonna say approachable. Sorry, I can't think. Yeah, having your music just be available like after playing to like all these different types of kids, like literally across the country. Like, not doing that is just going to hold you back. And so, it wasn't, like, my idea to do it. It was Kenny's idea, but everyone else was, like, down. I was like, yeah, dude, like, I don't care. It's cool. You know, we did the physical format thing. People still came to the shows. People bought the tape. People bought the 7-inch.
I mean, like, funny enough, like, I like the idea of fentanyl. Because, like, I've seen videos, but of course, I was like, I don't know how fentanyl sounds like. Yeah. So, when I saw you guys live, I was like, I'm so excited, but, like, honestly, I could imagine what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, because, like, I remember just going, singing in, seeing you guys jumping off, like, you know, like, just moshing, and then I'd be like, I still don't know. I can't listen to this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but, like,
that's a cool thing, too. Like, kids would go batshit crazy when we play, and, like, a lot of those kids probably haven't even heard the music before.
That's, like,
and that's the cool thing. It's very organic, you know?
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, like, add some, like, hype. You know what I mean? It's like, this band.
Oh, for sure. There's only one way you can hear it. You either go to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you go to the show and buy the tape.
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, it was refreshing. Because, you know what I mean? Like, now it's like, oh, that's the flyer. We can listen to every band. And it's like, okay, I don't like this. I like this. I don't like this. You know what I mean? That was, like, I mean, even
if you couldn't do that with us, you got to come to the show and find out the hard way whether you fuck with it or not.
Yeah, even if it's on Spotify now, it's like, it was still, like, a cool feeling. You know what I mean? To be like, I like how this band looks. I like what this band's about. I don't know what they sound like. And then the first, like, ding, 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 you know, like, I'm like, oh, like, you know what I mean? It's such a feeling that I don't know if it's going to happen again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still super sick. I mean, I was surprised. I thought you guys had, like, only, like, two demos. Like, but you guys have, like, a lot of, like well-recorded music, which was like, okay, yeah, this band needs to be on Spotify.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, this is, like, yeah, this doesn't make, like, because I think the first song is, like, where, like, the dude's, like, the classic Bay Area shit where like they're just like some rappers, sounds like a rapper just talking over it's like oh, like this is like, you already know, like, oh, this is sick, like this should be on Spotify,
the Andre Nicotina intro.
Yeah,
that, so he's like a OG like SF rapper from like the 90s, and our homie Sean, he did a mixtape for his band Full Contact in like 2016 or 17, and he had Project Pat do the intro. It was fucking clean.
What's it called? Full Compact?
Full Contact.
Full Contact.
Yeah.
Send me it to me just in case.
Yeah. I don't know if they're still online, but I'll like email you the.
There's not. Oh, yeah. Send it to me. Yeah.
They're sick. But he had Project Pat do his mixtape intro, and so we basically were just wanted to emulate that, and I actually just DM'd Andre Nicotina, and he was like, "Just text me instead, bro." And so it was hella funny. I was literally just texting this dude. Like, I've been listening to that guy since I was, like, 12, you know?
Or like, even, like, the Helix bit. Like, it was DJ Ian. Dude. Like, I was like, that's crazy.
I can't believe we had the chance to do a split with that. And he's, like, our homie, too.
Yeah. You know,
we kick it with him all the time. We actually did, we used his typewriter to type out the lyrics for the second 7-inch.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we're, like, kicking it out of his house.
I know there's, like, a whole, like, Bay LA friction or like, you know, like but I was like, one thing I love about the Bay is like, the Bay doesn't come up short or anything. I know LA has like the name of like Los Angeles and it has a lot of things, but one thing I love, like, I think one thing you can't take away from the Bay as someone from LA, raised like in LA through and through,
mm-hmm.
Is yeah, like the whole like rap, like power violence thing.
Yeah,
that's like
music, dude. The Bay has spawned so much like legendary music.
No, like you guys have legendary music for sure, but one thing you can't, like, you know what I mean? That's like, it's like you know, I mean, I could talk about like AFI and like Ceremony and all these big bands, but I'm like, one thing that like literally is like a Bay thing is that, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just like,
yeah,
you can't, like, you know what I mean? It's like I thought about doing a project like that where it's like, you know, just like rap, but like LA version, you know what I mean? Like, and like do like samples of like LA song,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, damn, I'll just be biting off the Bay. But I mean, that's the thing that's like, man, this is like, that's super like plutocracy. Yeah. I could go on and on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely the approach for the healer thing. And the thing with us was that we, I mean, of course, like, you know, we did do the exact style that like plutocracy and Spaz do with like the samples and the oldies and all that stuff. But we literally had permission from those guys to do it. Like the name Healer is an Immortal Fate song. Right. And like,
I know that.
The dude from Immortal Fate, like, drew our fucking logo. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not like we weren't like biting off of them per se. We literally had permission. The homie fucking hand scripted the whole logo for us. Like, we were like part of that lineage now, where it's like, it's different to me when, like, you know, someone rips off someone else. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like a rip off, you know? It's like, did you have permission to do that?
Yeah.
But we were, you know, born right into it. So we were lucky enough to, you know, those guys are like from the same area that we're from.
Yeah, Bay Area shit.
Yeah, dude, sure.
Yeah. So now you're 30. What's the big 3-0, the three decades? So what's next? I mean, Healer's on the thing. Cruise is still active, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fentanyl is on Spotify. You guys did a tour. I mean, you guys just came from a tour where like your music was on Spotify.
Yeah.
Or any streaming services. So yeah, what's next? What's next for you as a musician? What's next for you in life?
Definitely just writing more songs. I've been recording a lot more.
For a new project?
Just bands in general. Like, people hitting me up to record tracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay, as a producer.
Yeah. Like, I just go in my practice space, and, like, it kind of started with the first project I did was in 2018. I recorded my homie's band, Mop. Mop. And I was just recording on GarageBand with this, like, 4-track reel-to-reel machine that I bought on Craigslist. And I'd already been recording some of my own. I think the cruise tape might have already been done by this point. And I recorded that, so I kind of had an idea of, like, a workflow when it came to recording. So I felt comfortable actually charging people to come record with me. For Mop, I think we did 3 days, and I charged them, like, $150 for the whole thing.
Oh, sick.
Which is, like, super cheap.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, this was 2018, but even still, it was cheap for back then. But I just recorded it on a 4-track. And bounced everything into GarageBand and did the mix on the computer. And, like, I still think that's probably, like, my best recording, even, like, having done some other projects after that. And I don't know what it was about it that made it sound so good. I think it was just because, like, they're, like, a quieter band, you know? They weren't, like, blaring fucking amps hella loud and shit. But, yeah, I started recording in... That was, like, my first paid recording gig, 2018. And I definitely want to do more of that now moving forward. I'm actually recording my homie next week, too, doing some drum stuff. Just, like, trying to stay busy with that stuff. Trying to find a balance between staying busy, like, wanting to take on recording jobs, and then, like, not burning myself out. Because, like, I feel like this week, for example, I'm doing the podcast today. I have fentanyl practice tomorrow. And then I have practice for that band Hookups on Saturday morning. And it's, like, that's, like, 3 days in a row of just, like, work. And, you know, at the time when I'm, like, scheduling these things, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. That sounds cool. And then the week comes and I'm just like, fuck. Yeah, like, yeah. All I want to do is stay home with my girlfriend and relax and, like, not have to do this stuff. But at the same time, like, you know, you got to work for it, dude. And, like, you know, it's not the biggest deal in the world to, like, drive down here and, like, do this or, like, go to practice and learn some songs or whatever. But
you're elevating. You know, you started off as, like, playing band or learning guitar. Then you started booking shows and... You've kind of done, like, the whole, kind of almost the whole spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think booking shows and recording have been, like, two things that I get to throw onto my musical resume that a lot of other people, you know, either don't really find interest in or don't have the time to do it or don't know how. But, I mean, everything I taught myself, like, I never went to guitar class. I took one class in high school. I never learned anything about recording, like, anywhere else. I never went to, like, an institute to learn that. I'm just, like, watch YouTube videos and trial and error and fucking same with, like, guitar, booking, everything, dude.
Would you say you're proud of yourself?
Oh, yeah, hella. I think, like, taking on, like, a lot of these actions, like, it is a lot of hard work and I'm, like, I'm definitely, like, I look back and just being like, damn, it's cool that I got the chance to book shows, you know, when I was, like, 19 till I was, like, 24 or something like that. And, you know, even with recording now, like, recording has always been something that I've wanted to do. ever since I was in high school. And like I said, even with my first band, that was like the first time I ever dipped my toes into recording. And I'm just, every time I take on a new recording job, like I learn something new, whether it's like how to mic a snare drum better, or like how to do the overheads a little bit better, or how to mix something a little bit different.
Is there anything besides just like, obviously the passion for music is what drives for you to do everything, but is there something else, like another external, internal factor besides just loving music that drives you to like, I gotta learn this
to work?
Yeah, it's just to work in the music realm. Yeah, for DIY and DIY really.
Yeah. I don't know, honestly. I think just like being, having like a little bit of like a creative spark, you know. For example, for booking shows, it's like some people might be like, well, booking shows isn't creative. It's like, fucking make your own flyer, then it is creative. I used to make all my own flyers. I would actually get bummed out when tour packages would be like, here's a flyer, and I'd be like, fuck no, I'm gonna make my own. Because like,
booking shows is the respect anyone book shows. That's
yeah, for real.
That's the hardest job, I think. But someone's got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's the people working behind the curtains, man, that get a lot of this shit done. Like, without people booking shows, like, there wouldn't be a show tonight. There wouldn't be anything, any fucking
show. There would be no reason to come. There would be,
It's like, you know, it's always the behind-the-scenes fools that are doing a lot of the work that definitely goes underappreciated. I think if everyone who enjoys going to shows had the chance to book a show, they would grow and, like, understand and appreciate it for sure.
Yeah. But anything else you want to say before we wrap this up? We're going to do this or that. This or that is like Coke or Pepsi. You'd be like Coke.
Sick. Yeah.
But before we do that, anything else you want to say? Any fuck yous, any love yous?
Fuck you to gentrifiers. Love you to my family and friends. That's it.
Anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to put out there?
West Bay all day. 650 all day. Fucking yeah, that's all I really got.
Hey, before who's legit in the back of the Healer 7-inch or the EP
on the back?
Yeah, I think it's a dude like a gun or some shit.
Yeah, that's
never mind, don't say it. Well, you tell me after.
Fine, better that I don't.
Yeah, the cops are gonna listen right now. Yeah, I just thought. I was like dude, that's like sick, that's a hard picture.
That's our family for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna do this or that, wrap it up. All right,
cool, dude.
All right, so we're gonna start off hate breed or death threat.
Oh man, never really got into either, but I'd say Death Threat probably.
Walmart or Target?
Target for sure. There's a Target down the street from my house that's actually still there that I'd go to.
Candy or Kula?
Never listened to either of those bands either, honestly. I have listened to Candy before, so I'll go with them.
Plutocracy or Spaz?
Oh man. God damn, that's a hard one. I'm gonna have to go Spaz on that one.
Sick.
Nike. I'm gonna have to go Spaz.
Nike or Converse?
Nike for sure.
Vans or Adidas?
Vans.
Shit. Green Day or Blink?
Blink because I grew up with them, but Green Day because they're from the Bay. I wasn't listening to Green Day as early as I was listening to Blink-182, but yeah, I'll go with Blink-182.
Wu-Tang or Bone Thugs?
Oh man, probably Wu-Tang. I'd say I probably fucked with both of them equally as much, which wasn't like a lot in comparison to like other stuff I listened to at the time. But yeah, probably Wu-Tang.
Red Hot Chili Peppers or Pearl Jam?
Pearl Jam.
David Bowie or The Stones?
The Stones for sure.
Damn, that was a bad one. the Stones.
Out. I mean, other people might find that one challenging, but I love The Stones, dude.
Guns N' Roses or Metallica?
Oh, Metallica for sure.
Metallica or Slayer?
Slayer for the riffs, Metallica for the influence.
Bob Dylan or Neil Young?
Oh, god damn it. probably Neil Young.
Neil Young?
Yeah.
Damn.
Gonna have to go with Neil Young on that one, the homie.
Zeppelin or Sabbath?
Sabbath for sure.
The Athletics or the Giants?
Giants all day, bro.
Giants?
Hell yeah.
The Athletics hat looks kind of cooler.
I'm only against the A's because their colors are the same colors from my whack-ass high school. And our high school baseball jerseys basically looked like A's jerseys. And anything that reminds me of that, I'm good off of it.
The bar or the strip club?
The bar.
The bar.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Jane's Addiction or Soundgarden?
Soundgarden.
I think I'm running out
of
it.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one.
Mobb Deep or Onyx?
I've never heard of Onyx.
Really?
Yeah.
You know who they are?
Am I a coward? No.
You never heard that song? It's like, da 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 da. It's like slam, but
I mean, I never really listened to either. I never really stepped to Mobb Deep like that either, but I have to go Mobb Deep just because at least I know a couple of their songs.
Yeah, probably like Killers and $100. And I think we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Negative Approach. No. I'm trying to think of what's a crazy bay one. I don't know. I can't think of any.
That's all good.
Yeah.
I ain't tripping.
Yeah. All right. But thank you, buddy, for listening. And yeah, anything else you want to say?
Nah, dude. I'm chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. LA to the bay. Thank you.
Hell yeah.